Hey there. I'm Sarah.
I'm Brian.
Actually, I'm Brian.
I'm Sarah.
So you think. So welcome to our next installment of the
Pixel Pushers Podcast.
Say it three times fast.
Don't. It's a disaster.
We're going to do this once a month, and I think it's been a month since the last one we did. But I think we're going to this like weekly thing because of this COVID-19 thing. We have this other project where we're talking to people all around the nation about what it's like where they're at, and a lot of them have very particular set of skills. So who are we talking to today?
This week we've got Katie Jones, who is a technical food consultant.
And she's in Englewood, Florida, right in the heart of the retirement community, those who are at high risk and how they're ignoring it. We're going to hear about how they're ignoring it. We're going to hear about how the food supply chain. I always want to say food chain, but it's the food supply chain. People are wondering, are we going to run out of food during this? And she has some great insights. Let's go ahead and cut to the interview.
Katie Jones, K-A-T-I-E-J-O-N-E-S.
And where are you at?
Englewood, Florida.
So how long has Florida been under shutdown?
Oh, I don't think we are. Well, because Florida is based on tourism and entertainment. It's our whole economy for the most part. And it's the height of spring break and snowbird season. And so they've been very slow to do full stay-at-home orders. They did shut down all the spring training games, which is big money. That's like billions of dollars because we have all the Northern baseball teams come down and do spring training down here. The beaches, they were just talking about reopening some of the beaches. Marco Island never shut theirs down. Englewood shut theirs down last week because everybody came from Fort Myers. When they shut down their beaches, they came up here en masse. So they're just sort of shifting around depending on what's being closed down, on where they're congregating. I've seen clips of giant block parties with food trucks in neighborhoods. Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, do you think people in Florida are taking it seriously? I mean, what do you think in general? Not at all.
No, and even if we were, we are a port for major cruise ships coming in. So we're definitely, and we're a major flight path for New Yorkers to come down to their seasonal winter homes. And so we never did shut down the flights from New York. People coming off planes from New York were told the temperatures were taken and they were told to self-quarantine for 14 days. That's it.
Wow. So, and you're in an area, as you're kind of joking about, like more of a retirement area. I mean, you're kind of surrounded. You're like, you know, super young there, like compared to your environment.
Yeah, I'm a youngin. 50 is the new 20 in this town.
Woohoo! I'm almost 20.
I know. It is really weird because the boomer generation is incredibly social and very much about community. So they're really struggling with this concept of social distancing. So you really have to watch them when you're out walking the neighborhood or because they want to get real close to you and have a conversation. So it's a very foreign idea for, you know, for me, I'm an old latchkey kid, Gen Xer, so stay the fuck away from me. I don't, you know, this isn't hard for me. But the boomers, it's really hard for them. And my mom lives 5 minutes away, and we've had restricted access because she's in her 70s. And she's really struggling with this lack of socializing. Because this whole area is about margaritas and getting together and socializing.
Do you think they're taking it? I mean, they're not doing the social distancing. I mean, are they worried? These are the at-risk age group people.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
A lot of them don't. You'll see them out at the grocery stores or at Home Depot. I mean, they're still out. They're still out, and they still try to come up and talk to you. And I even heard a couple of them at the health food store standing around talking about how they were going to take a cruise. And I was just flabbergasted. Like, really? Is this really what you're going to do with your retirement? So it's been very odd. We are a very heavily Trump-centric state, especially here on the Gulf Coast of Florida, which tends to be a little more agricultural, fishing, hunting, retirees, and so it can be more conservative than a place like Miami. And they just, it's fake news or it's just the flu. And then the younger generation who were coming down, I guess they're Gen Zs now, were coming down for spring break and they were partying and saying, it won't kill us, we don't care. So they got them on the news acting like idiots, all hanging out together downtown Fort Myers. And they started referring to this as the boomer remover because they felt like they were not in danger of catching it or dying from it. We know better now.
Right. The boomer.
So yeah, remover. The boomer remover, right? That's the type of community down here where the young people were just like, whatever, doesn't affect us.
So, I mean, hey, you say, have you been out? Are you seeing things at stores that are different or just things different when you're out? It sounds like everybody.
Yeah, everything's wiped out. Everything's definitely wiped out as far as convenience foods, comfort foods, frozen pizzas. The restaurants will do pickup. I think at this point you can do pickup or to go, but you can't go in. Although I did see some that as long as they set you at a table 6 feet from the nearest person, you could still go eat in the restaurants.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. So that's a weird, so it depends on where you are and how serious people in your area are taking it. Cause some places are still open. Disney shut down. So that was pretty big for the state of Florida. Disney shut down like three weeks ago now. It feels like years. I can't even gauge time anymore. But all the theme parks shut down, which is like a height of season for them. So
right.
That's crazy. And now we're seeing, you know, other things economically starting to be impacted by our entertainment industry shutting down. You know, farms, a lot of agricultural crops now are ready because this is the height of our harvest season. And there's no restaurants or Disney to buy up all these fresh tomatoes and cucumbers.
And that's going to be long lasting, too.
Yeah, because that means all the farms are sort of really desperate. You can get online and you can connect with some of these large growing operations and get, the last one I saw was 25 pounds of tomatoes for $5.
25 pounds? Wow. Yeah,
that's a shit ton. I mean, that's a lot of sauce.
That's super desperate. I mean, that stuff's going to go bad.
That's the balance, right? We give it away for low cost, and then people are coming to pick it up, or it rots in the fields, and then we are emitting greenhouse gases at an alarming rate because we've got food waste.
Yeah, we're on week 3 of everything being shut down. So that's all the bars, all the restaurants. Restaurants are carry out, or delivery or drive-through only. Most of them are closing their doors to even come pick it up, a lot of them.
Yeah.
At least downtown when I went through. And a lot of them are just shutting down. So
yeah.
Now you're on week 3 of that. You know, just from being here, you know, if you're like wait, you're counting on those tips, you know? You're not getting paid much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's weird. It's weird. You're definitely seeing, like, people are starting to get desperate around here, and you see some one of the people we were talking to was saying how he's starting to see some shady things as people are getting more and more desperate. Talk about what you've seen. Well, talk about what you do, and then I guess how this has impacted you. Like, we were talking about how it just shut us down completely.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing in your circles.
Well, I do two things. Well, I do three things. I do a podcast. So I do a podcast focused on people who are making changes to our food system and trying to combat climate change. So that's been really interesting to still be having those conversations as it's now spreading to a global level. And people are very concerned about food security and food sovereignty. So I'm seeing much more interest in people learning how to grow their own or can their own preserve foods, even looking at what can they support locally as a local food shed. So that's been really cool. So the podcast and the conversations around Food Heroes podcast.
I was going to say, go ahead and plug it. Yeah.
it has been really timely because I've been talking about these issues about localizing your food and where it comes from and knowing your farmer for like 3 years and nobody's listening until right now. now all of a sudden people are very interested in this information. So that's been giving me some hope, because it's not difficult to, you know, really localize your food. It's really not. And right now there's no severe shortages of food, so that shouldn't be a problem. It's more an issue of getting it from producers to market. That's the holdup. So that part's been really interesting, to be able to continue having that conversation with people in ways that are really practical and useful and give people like empowerment. They feel like they can do that. And then the other side is, I work in the food industry, both as a consultant, and I decided to launch my own vegan cheese company. And I had one market and everything got shut down. So my fledgling food startup is definitely a victim of COVID-19 at this point, because there's no markets for me to go to. They shut down all the vegan pop-ups. All the farmers markets shut down. I've done a couple of deliveries to locals. I gave away like close to 50 cheeses just to restaurant workers and baristas and, you know, people in the vegan community, just to, you know, hey, you guys are on the front lines. And I had all this product because I had no markets. So I just did a big donation run and distributed vegan cheeses everywhere.
What's she doing distributing vegan
cheese? I know. It's so weird what people really get excited about right now. I mean, especially, I was like, well, it's just really like vegan Velveeta kind of cheese. And people were so excited. They were making grilled cheeses. They were showing pictures on Instagram. Like, they were so stoked to be able to make like a cheese and cracker plate. Like, that part was cool. I didn't expect that they were like, this is, people want comfort food right now.
Cheese is a comfort food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suddenly I want some vegan cheese.
So, I mean, do you think, like you kind of mentioned it a bit, I mean, food shortage, it's something that people keep talking about, which I've heard mixed things about whether or not, you know, the supply chain can handle the panic shopping. And then you got the aspect of things being shut down. And
yeah.
What's your take on, you know, maybe not being able to get the food you want?
Well, in the immediate future, if you switch your grocery habits and don't go to Walmart, but maybe go to a smaller market, a locally owned market, a international type market, they're fully stocked.
That was one of the things with like toilet paper here. It's just like, yep, go to the international.
Yeah, stop going to Walmart. Go somewhere local and see what they have. I've gone to the health food stores. I've gone to one of our big Latin markets we have here. Fully stocked, like bag after bag of 50-pound rice, beans. They even had toilet paper. Like, they had bleach. So I think it depends on where people are shopping, and maybe think about if you're supporting someone local or if you're supporting a multinational corporation. You know,
now,
something to think about.
Where you are, well, like, for example, in Oregon, when we're in Oregon, people immediately think local first a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And then the stark contrast to like coming to Dayton, Ohio, where people immediately think the chain, the big Kroger's, or even
one of the same here. Yeah.
McDonald's. So, yeah, kind of the same thing. Same front of mind is going through those chains as compared to like hippie West Coast.
Yeah. And it's right now, I don't think we're going to see major disruptions to the supply chain. I mean, we are, because the warehouses that used to be the holding points for all of your boxes of cereal, they don't have back stock right now. It's been wiped out. So as quick as the cereal producer can get the new product to them, it's flying out of the distribution, and they give a little to everybody. So you might just get five boxes at one, or a pallet. It's not boxes, it's pallets. You might get a pallet to one Walmart in your area, but you won't get an equal amount distributed to all the stores in your area. So they're just not able to distribute them fast enough. I've noticed on the plus is that my packaged food has never tasted fresher. I got some milk duds and I was like, oh my God, they're not all melted and goopy. Like, they're perfectly fresh. So because we're going through inventory so quick, a lot of stuff is a lot fresher than it. You know, those things have like a 2-year, 3-year shelf life. So, yeah, we get them fresh.
We'll see what survives this apocalypse.
But I did want to say that thinking forward, and since I deal with clients who are food producers, it's really important if you're a producer to make sure that the ingredients you rely on, like, know where they're coming from. Because if you're using ingredients sourced from China, there's going to be a disruption in you being able to get that ingredient, say 6 months, 9 months. Depends on how far out you contracted your ingredients. Most companies contract out, you know, for the year. But I see that, you know, as a potential to have backups. If you're using, say, tapioca starch from China, maybe look for a local source or within your, you know, look for a secondary supplier of those key ingredients that you use.
Yes, that's true.
There will be disruptions from that perspective. Probably in electronics, probably across the board, not just food.
Yeah, we're already seeing it with cameras. Like I think I was just talking to you, like all the camera manufacturers have released their latest and greatest, but they're not coming out. They're not getting here.
Well, they're all crummy anyway. Seriously, that's an upgrade from what?
Well, if you're going with a Nikon, I agree. But
I wonder how that'll affect the push to have a new cell phone model every year since our workforce in China is being decimated.
Right, right. And, you know, even when China opens up more, because I guess they're opening up, I mean, that doesn't mean the United States is going to be letting stuff in.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. So that's something I see larger scale for supply chain disruption. Isn't that we have a shortage, but some ingredients or some specific items that are mass produced over there may be more difficult to find.
Now, with your food background, now we're talking about like a lot of the local smaller places. What about in the United States, like kind of the more mass produced farms? Like, how are they going to continue to, are they going to be impacted like in the same way that smaller places are?
That is what we're waiting to see. Right now, they're doing fantastic. So, for instance, someone like General Mills is doing really well right now. And General Mills is one of those organizations that controls their product from field all the way to shelf. They have their own farmer, people growing their crops. Like they are very tied into their entire supply chain. So a lot of it, because it's cereal crops, are grown in the United States and the company is based in the United States. So I don't really foresee them having major problems unless something happens to that. Oh, okay, I just thought of it. If something happens to the workforce, which is predominantly immigrants from the South, then we could have issues as we've had severe restrictions on migration in this country. Those are the people who are harvesting our food.
Right.
And we've made it very difficult for them to exist here or be a part of that. They're so needed, and we've just been putting them in cages and, you know, treating them like shit. But when it comes down to it, you have to harvest the food, and that's predominantly, the workforce is predominantly Central and South American and Mexican.
For people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping there's going to be a shift of consciousness where we actually respect and, I don't know, have a different attitude towards people at the very beginnings of our food chains.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
That's what the person who's going to Walmart in Ohio isn't thinking about.
We're so disconnected, you know, yeah. But if you're in Ohio, you're probably pretty lucky because there's probably someone there who's raising chickens for eggs or meat. There's probably a farmer who has milk, like dairies are dumping milk out right now because they cannot get it to market. And they are not, in some states, legally allowed to sell direct to consumer. So there's some pieces to this where me personally, I do not have the proper licensing to sell direct to consumer right now. I could go through the USDA and get all that permitting, but that costs money. And this is a pretty uncertain future, right? So I'm holding on to my money. But that's another issue is there are farmers out there with products, but they just are not by law able to connect directly with the consumers. but there's ways around it. And you know,
well, you're saying they're dumping out milk, and that's like one of the things that's on the grocery store shelves that is a shortage of. Not so much, not the same as toilet paper, but that's like one of the things that they're limiting your purchases on and whatnot. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting that we do have, you know, milk getting dumped out.
Walmart is not limiting. They're putting up little signs that say, please be respectful, but people are just, and there's no shortage that I can see.
Oh. Here in Springfield, too.
Yeah, and Springfield doesn't know about local farming and stuff. That's true. That's how I grew up.
Springfield's probably got a ton of people out there doing, raising hogs and corn.
I'm sure they do, and I don't know any of them.
Yeah. That's the trick, right? How do you connect directly with those farmers? They're not notoriously on Facebook and on the internet promoting their products. So there are some.
Are they not allowed to do that? Like,
I think they are. It's just whether or not if a farmer is raising animals, say, generally they're not selling directly to consumer because it's too hard to predict how many animals to raise because the harvest period would be up to a year, right? So that'd be really hard to plan that out without a committed purchase. So they usually sell to a middle person who distributes.
There are a lot of, in the county, I'm seeing them as I pass by, not yet in the season, a lot of farms selling their produce and their eggs and those kinds of things. That's everywhere out there.
That's awesome.
Right now?
No, not right now.
Okay.
little shutdown shack right now. I don't think it's season. Quite the season.
Yeah, I don't think it's season for you guys.
I've never really paid that much attention. I wonder how they're going to be impacted.
They might do pretty well. I mean, it depends on if the shift comes. Right now, what I'm seeing is people are buying junk food. They're not buying produce. Our produce section has no shortages, even at Walmart. But our frozen pizza aisle is vacant. So people are in the cereal aisle. So people are buying comfort foods, mac and cheese, cereal, cookies, frozen pizza, but they're not buying the cauliflower crust pizza, and they're not buying like the higher end gluten-free, better for you products. They're buying pure indulgent junk food. The produce aisle looks fine. I mean, I don't
that's exactly what you see here at the grocery store. You go want to get a loaf of bread, all you're gonna see is wheat bread because
Dave Skiller bread still on the show.
Well, that stuff is a lot of that stuff you're talking about too is a lot cheaper. You know, because I know I lived on 40-cent burritos for how long till I got really sick of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's it too, and that's why those types of convenience foods will continue to be favored because they're inexpensive. You can buy a bunch of them. They'll last forever in your pantry. I mean, it makes sense why we're seeing that. Not a lot of the stuff that you haven't ever tried before, nobody's buying it because they don't want to risk buying something and spending the money on something they're not going to like.
Right. So, I mean, that's exactly why people go to fast food chains. They don't like any change and they don't want to like take that risk, you know.
You want your value and you want it to be something you're familiar with. So.
Right. Mostly.
So, I mean, that's a hard shift for people to then go from that buying well-known brands like General Mills or the cereal brands and switching to something local that they don't know. I see that's a much easier transition for vegans in my community because it's very much about supporting other vegan businesses. So I do see them more interested in supporting local producers. And it's directly through Facebook. Like someone who produces fake chicken or seitan will say, hey, I'm going to make a bunch of fake pepperoni. Is anyone interested? And then, you know, 20 people on the Facebook group will order. So
this is like this whole underground network going on. Kind
of. That's cool, though.
Yeah, but I think vegans are pretty much all about that anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's a different consumer. It's a different type of food you're going to eat. That's where I found out about the tomatoes was from the vegan food group. Or it's not a food group, it's just a vegan group. So it's everything from animal rescues to what you ate for dinner, right?
Huh. You know, and people think buy local here, they go to the nation's number one grocer, which is Kroger.
Yeah.
And Kroger is based in Cincinnati. So they have all these things that are said, I'm local. But and it's not. it's just this packaged stuff that they're, you know, packaging who knows where.
Yeah, it's
and
a lie.
It's
yeah.
not even local to this town. Even if it were, they're in Cincinnati, and it's just such a deceptive.
Yeah, Kroger's is huge. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that food that's saying that has this like I'm local by it is not local, you know? like
yeah.
Not at all.
Somewhere in the process, something was local.
But a lot of people around here think they're buying local because of that.
So. I did. I was baffled by it.
Well, okay, I've got one for you on the local front. This is before the shutdown, and I went to a farmer's market because I wanted to support local farmers, and I was looking to purchase eggs. And I thought, oh, it says farm fresh. I'm going to, you know, buy some of these eggs for Javon because he likes to make them for his breakfast. And, you know, they were all pretty. They had the brown coloring. They were packaged in like a homemade looking carton type thing. And I went up at the checkout and I was like, oh, where's your farm located? And the girl was like, oh, we picked these up down in Immokalee. Immokalee is our big ag center. It's not a hometown. It's where all the industrial agriculture has. So these were basically industrial raised chicken eggs. So I wasn't really supporting what I thought it was.
right.
And so farm fresh means nothing locally. It was locally produced within 200 miles, but that's not the bucolic farm scene that I was like, oh, there's probably this family and they go out and they check their chickens and they pick up each egg by hand and wipe it. You know, I was like, oh gosh, no, they were industrial farmed. Chicken eggs, which is not what I was trying to support. So you don't know unless you ask questions. That's a problem too, even though if you do go local, farmers are still struggling. You know, it's the weird thing about capitalism is it's economy of scale. And so things have to be very cheap for people to purchase them. And then the producer's making $0. So because the value is on what's affordable, not on what's nutrient dense or well-crafted by the producer or the farmer. Like it's the whole value of money and capitalism to make more and more and more just doesn't really work well with the way food is. That's the other thing. They just announced down here, we now need to wear our masks. And people still
aren't. Okay, good girl.
Yeah, CDC announced that. Was that
good girl, P?
National. They said that nationally, and I think the governor here said it. No, there are people, but not really. I have seen some weird apocalyptic thing, like a guy with like a welding mask that pulls down, going into the grocery store, pulling it down.
I saw a guy yesterday. I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't have time. He had a big sign on his back that said, "Stay away from me, 6 feet of 6 feet." Yeah. He had like a bib thing, and then the face covered and.
Yeah, that's a really hard thing here. Like, the boomers do not get social distancing.
Yeah. They want right to be on you. Terrified. We thought Sunshine had it because she had all the symptoms and all of them. And I remember looking at her face one Sunday morning and being like, oh my God, we got to do something. So the protocol to get a test is just impossible. We went.
Yeah, you can't get any.
We're not going to get it. Yeah, we're not going to get one.
They had a place set up to do drive-thrus and then they shut it down.
Well, it's because they don't have the tests. I think that's why our numbers are low. But she went and got a doctor's note to be screened. And they screened her for the flu and everything but the COVID. But the beauty of that was they found a sinus infection and gave her the antibiotics and it was all free. The antibiotics she had to pay for, but the whole process of getting that treatment for that sinus infection was free. That would have costed a fortune to go have done a private doctor. So that's the good part of that.
It was like a sci-fi movie from the way
it really was. Yeah. The screening place was, it was like you pull up and there's cones everywhere and people in their white outfits.
It's like Outbreak. You guys remember the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman? Are you guys has your town shut down church services? That's been a big deal here where they're still doing church services. What's that?
They have a constitutional right to still congregate, which I think is absolute bullshit.
Remember the big football Jesus on the highway?
Touchdown Jesus.
Solid Rock. They're getting a lot of flack for still congregating.
Yeah, that guy. Well, poor Jesus statue got hit by lightning, which was awesome. That now they have a dumber one up. You know?
That's Wi-Fi Jesus, because he's got all these antennas coming from his head.
Yeah, the new one is just weird and misproportioned. Like, the body is just...
The first one was really, really, like, scary anyway. And now this one's scary, too, but it's Wi-Fi. At least he's got Wi-Fi.
Wow. Are those lightning rods or what?
I think they are, actually.
I don't know, but they're being very reckless talking about, God will protect you.
So yeah.
You're not exempt.
So, being in the South, there's a lot of, like, you know, tent-style preaching that goes on down here.
Yeah.
And they're still, I mean, you can't stop that. And there's still some congregations.
But are they grouping in large groups or like 10?
Depends on the church, right?
There's, wow.
Depends on what the congregation decides to do.
I noticed here that pretty much every single Chinese restaurant is closed.
Oh, wow.
They deliver and, you know, you can get carry out, but none of them are open. They've all just closed.
I wondered if that's racially fueled in any way.
Yeah, I would think that's racially fueled.
Because the other restaurants seem to be doing okay.
I'm kind of okay.
Well, I don't know. We don't have very many local places in Springfield, but the chains are all seem to be doing okay. And I haven't checked the Chinese restaurants out there. I haven't been sent to any of them to pick up food, so apparently they're not doing great.
Well, the three I tried are
all shut down. We tried. Close. Yeah, we tried to go, Sunday? Yeah.
That's the other thing. I've been hearing shortages up in Tampa of tofu. So.
Wow.
Well, Asian foods, right?
The last time...
Huh, I wonder if that has something to
do with it. The last time we got Chinese at that place, right when this was starting, like, they didn't even have any rice.
Yeah. That's right, they didn't, or mushrooms. They didn't have mushrooms either, which I thought was strange, because it was two times in a row they didn't have mushrooms. I'm like, I'm good, I'd rather have...
That's weird. Yeah. So, I haven't seen any shortages on rice yet. Maybe their supplier just didn't have them.
Yeah.
Cisco or whoever they go through for restaurant supply. That's what's going to be so interesting is how our society reforms after this. Like, what will be the new normals? Nobody knows. But the social distancing is really interesting because I know when I go to the big food trade shows, the industry shows, I hug people I've never met before, and I shake hands constantly. Sometimes I'm like, I don't really want to hug you, but that's just what we do.
It's a butt out hug for this guy.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting moving forward how we acknowledge one another and if there's more distrust and fear of people, because the way that things like this work, viruses or any kind of sickness, is we'll have this first wave, and then it'll come back.
Yes.
It's not just one time and it's done. Viruses adapt and they mutate. So I'm seeing this as a longer term thing. I mean, they're talking about, I didn't tell you guys this, but all the hotels down in Fort Myers shut down last week and they're not reopening until July.
Well, that's a big deal.
That's the economy.
Devastated.
The vacation rentals, Airbnb, the hotels.
I'm really worried about the economic factor, and not so much right now, but long term.
Well, I think, you know, what you were saying, I do. I've thought about that. Like, people aren't going to be shaking hands probably if ever again.
I don't think
it's going to be the norm. I think there's going to be a lot of little things that are going to change that we're not going to notice coming out of this, you know, depending on how long it lasts.
It just feels so surreal to be living through this, Schaefer. Like you just said, our generation grew up with hiding under your desk because there was going to be a nuclear bomb from the Cold War. It was never like, just stay home and watch Netflix. Like, this is so weird. It feels so, like, there's no Mad Max, like, cool outfits and going around with your band of, you know, friends that you're surviving the apocalypse. It's like a solo journey, and you can't leave your house. It's just so, it's hard to get your mind around the fact that this is really happening.
Right.
Until you do go out and you try, like, I tried to buy some dog food, and I went to the pet supply store and they had the sign up that only two people in the store, and then when they let you in there, there's all these pieces of tape where you're supposed to stand to distance yourself. So there were two customers in the store, but there were like six employees right there, and then you would talk to one employee and tell them what you were looking for, and then they would go shop the store for you. You're not even allowed in the store. They have it all blocked off. And they go get the item for you and bring it back and ring you up. It's just, that's when it's like, oh shit, this is really happening. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting you brought up the part about people maybe getting into some illegal activities. Gun purchases are definitely up in the state of Florida. So we have a drug house on the corner from us. It's a tweaker house, and they're all still hanging out.
Yeah. Are they still sharing that bulb thing? I mean, I'd be
probably. I don't go.
I never did buy me.
The, I mean, yeah, I think, yeah, crime is down, and oh yeah, it's just it's. I mean, what else was he saying? He had just some interesting insight.
I'm afraid of the cybersecurity personally because I know I'm putting a lot of my personal information in for these loans and stuff and really watching what site I'm on, what link I followed.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, what if somebody, I mean, it'd be easy to follow a bad link and put your social in there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really afraid of that.
Or get that spam email that says it's from the loan place. Click on this link to fill out the rest of the information.
And you don't realize that you've put all your shit in until it's too late and you push click and it's like, oh shit.
I'm pretty on that stuff. So.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's something to be very aware of. But I think the generation coming up now where this is their normal upbringing, it's going to be, they were already digital natives to an extent no one else has ever been before. So they're already used to TikTok and just interacting through virtual communication anyway. So they're probably going to be even, what will it be like for them when it comes to like looking at building a community and taking care of each other? They just, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting.
That's a good question in general, aside from this, because I know your kids who are in their 20s, you know, 25 and 20, my nephew who's 17, they never left the house anyways. You know,
exactly. They stay home. Anyway.
You know, and you know, now people are calling the cops because kids are outside playing. You know, that's definitely a different time. So, like, I mean, it's like they've been doing this already. They don't have to put any extra effort in, and they're probably more social distance than most of us.
Yeah, there are outside playing. When I DoorDash yesterday, I was watching out for kids. I mean, there are little tiny kids everywhere in the road and everything. And this little girl, she said, I picked a flower for you. And I'm like, do I go near this little girl and take this flower?
Wow.
I just had her drop it in my hand. But still, it was like, you'd never think.
You are seeing.
You would never think of that. But, you know, I was like, oh, God, what's a little girl sick? I let her drop the flower in my hand. But
you are seeing kids outside now, whereas I wasn't before.
Yes, they're everywhere. In Springfield, they're everywhere, yeah.
But, you know, here they're supposed to be doing school. And I bet you they're just trying to get out of school. So, I mean, they're supposed to be doing school at home, so. I thought we were ready for this. We were ready for the fall of capitalism, and it is.
Well,
we're not going to be Mad Maxing it. We're going to be on Zoom.
Yeah, like, look how much
fist in the air.
Look how much is still just normal. I mean, this is a big pandemic and it's really terrifying, but look at, you know, people outside playing and stuff. They're not hiding from Mad Max or motorcycle. I don't know. Some of these motorcycle guys that are out there.
There are a lot of motorcycle gangs out. A lot of motorcycle people.
Yeah. Gasoline is cheap. So they can ride all they want.
That's why I'm making money doing DoorDash, because the gas is just nothing.
Gas is cheap.
That's another interesting thing. I don't know if you've taken note, but how pollution has went down so much, like, since all the lockdowns.
That's what they're saying.
What about wildlife?
A lot of the air travel. Oh, we're seeing so much wildlife. I just had my bird bath.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we have a lot around here anyway. Like, we do have wild pigs. They haven't moved into the towns yet because they don't need to. You know, we have a lot of alligators and shit anyway.
So. Well, with people being not around so much, I wonder how. We saw some deer. And
me and Penny had a coyote encounter on a place that we took. Walk quite often, you know, but there's less.
So nature's gonna so quick to come back when we just stay the fuck.
It's only been a couple weeks. I'm amazed by that. I'm gonna try to get some photos of of that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I don't know that capitalism is fighting so hard right now. Like, I'm seeing online, especially with the small business and other entrepreneurs that I follow or interact with online, and they're just hustling so hard, and I'm like, just stop. Give it a rest.
Yeah.
Like, just stop and think about what you're really doing right now.
Yeah.
And if it's necessary to be hustling this hard for your business right now. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. For me personally, I decided to be more of service to my community rather than push the hustle for self-gain. But that's my nature anyway. It'll be interesting because I think there's such a human interest in holding on to what we know, even if it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even talk about the food situation in some of the underserved communities, the food deserts. I haven't heard a lot about that. I've got interviews coming up for Food Heroes podcast with people in those communities. Just to see what's going on. What's going on with our Native American friends? What's going on in, you know, the economically depressed areas of our cities? Like, what is I mean, Dayton's a great example of that. But
right, and all of our, the Life Enrichment Center, where my studio is and where we do some volunteer work, it's shut down. They don't have, I don't know, 30, 40 people every morning getting breakfast there, people getting groceries
food
there.
Food banks, Meals on Wheels.
That's like, all shut down. The elderly programs,
Well, and the thing of it is,
I don't know what those people are doing. I haven't had any contact with them.
The food desert thing, just not having grocery stores. Now you got the Dollar General stores popping up everywhere and being a pain in the butt. But, people have to, they don't have cars. They don't have a grocery store near them.
Yeah.
And they have to get on a bus with a bunch of
people. You can't do, right?
No. The buses are still running.
Oh, wow.
I am seeing a lot of people in my neighborhood in Springfield with bags and bags of stuff walking distances. Well, like, all day long, I see people with bags walking.
I was out shooting. I did a Eat Local, Support Your Community public service thing that no one seemed to like around here because everybody likes the chains. But when I was out shooting that, I was just shooting like a bunch of B-roll, you know, seeing this woman at the bus stop with like 2 or 3 kids, you know, and all these bags. And I'm like, you're going to get onto this little like Petri dish, you know, like.
You don't have an option, right? You got to get meals made and you got to get what you need and you're forced to use public transportation. It really, I think we'll see much larger numbers in that economic level than, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So even though Tom Hanks and his wife got it, they're very affluent and they were able to be treated comfortably. Whereas someone with 4 kids taking a bus, you know.
You can't even get a test. We're never even going to know if they have it.
Yeah. It's,
you know?
And without the testing, we won't know what the mortality was related to. Was it COVID? Was it something else? But so I think, you know, I'd like to say that we're going to see a new way to do business or a new way. You know, that's not based on self-gain and self-promotion, but I don't know yet. You know, even Mad Max was based on self-promotion and self-survival.
That's hard when that's all you know.
Yeah, we need a better model of building a future. But,
I mean, these young people, I'm a tech guy too, right?
I know, don't he sound
like her daughter, and I guess this is a thing, are watching movies and all in the chat rooms.
Yep.
All through the internet and like hanging out with like 5 of them watching this movie and talking about it while they're just on the internet.
There's like a whole party going on in her room and she's the only one in there. I'm like, what is
that? So that's what I'm saying. They're already sort of adapted to this use of social media and technology for socializing. Like it's very normal for them. So I mean, maybe these big gatherings, it ends with our generations. Like maybe millennials will hold on to them a little longer, but already Gen Z prefers not to do a lot of things in person. So
even my son, he's 20, his relationship with his girlfriend seemed distant to me. They didn't spend much time together face to face.
It's so weird. I mean, I can't even fathom like growing up having the internet all of your life.
I know. Well, we had MTV generation.
MTV, yes.
Not very interactive, though. So you still had to go out and mingle with people. And school still existed. You had to go to a school. It wasn't virtual.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And it created, I mean, that early MTV stuff created some great fashions.
It did. I'm still sporting the all black Susie and the Banshee.
I sported mine in the trailer park also.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. It was really interesting to see what's happening in other places. Now, if you want to find out more about Katie or hear her podcast, I highly recommend it. You can go to www.foodheroespodcast.com. If you want to find out more about Katie, K8O Jones.com. That's K, number 8, number 0, Jones.com. Next week, next week is awesome. This guy's full of energy. He's a COVID-19 survivor, and he's on the other, we're going to the other side of the country. I mean, just 3,000, 4,000 miles away. And, I don't know, there's something about this guy in this interview. What do you think, what would you say about it?
Oh, goodness. Crazy story. Wild travels. He was all over the world right before he got sick.
In every country he went to, including, like, Italy, every time he left a country, the outbreak happened there, right after he left. This is a great story, so that's going to be next week. So, thanks for listening, and tune in next week.